We enter into your word. We thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? But it has pleased you to honor us and visit us with your presence, like you did for our father David so many years ago. But even now you do to the seed of David. Say, you will not lie to David. Your covenant will you not break, neither shall you alter what has gone out of your mouth. We worship and we honor and we appreciate you. We enter into this word with the reverence that it deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We seek for divine help and assistance, fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind, to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that is compressed into this written word. We ask you, come and help us to bring it out, the portion of it you want to bring out today. And I ask the same unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips be upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, and the rest of the body of Christ that this message is meant for, that will go out electronically over the internet, that every heart will be prepared, that the word will have free course from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Ghost be released in more than sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. My God, come and help me. I will deliver this word with precision, with clarity. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, I have a prophetic landmark message. It is not just a message for scripture pasture. It's a message for the church. And it's very crucial because of the time and the season that we're in. For those who may not know, we are in the season of the blood moon. The four blood moon tetrad is the last one that's going to be taking place in this month of September. It coincides, and this has happened only once in 2,000 years, with the Jewish feasts, as well as with the Shemitah year, which is the year of release, which happens once every 7 years, as well as with the year of Jubilee. Between the first Jubilee and now, this is the 70th Jubilee from Moses, and it's the 40th Jubilee from Christ. These are not figures that are random. 70 speaks of completion of commandment. Consequently, we are expecting a release and a manifestation of the glory of God in the church. Consequently, our preparation is crucial. Hence, this message, which is interestingly, and you know, when my wife was just speaking today, I just said, this is just God. You know, God will send the prophets ahead to prepare the way, is the tribulation of the church. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to first of all read from verse 3. Matthew, the 24th chapter, stay in the King James until I say otherwise. I will be moving you in between the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New International Version, and the Amplified Version as led by the Spirit. Let us read. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. See, folks, there are a lot of things God tells us. He tells us privately. That's why he said in another place, he said, blessed are your eyes that see these things, and your ears that hear them. He said, for many kings and prophets have desired, but they haven't seen them. It's not everything that God tells everybody. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I need to say it. They will hear it, but they won't understand it. They will see it, but they will not perceive it. This message is going out to the whole world. Anybody can listen to this message. Anybody who has a computer. But a lot of people, even Christians, born again spirit, will hear, but they won't understand it. That's not my fault. That's not God's fault. That's the heart, because of the condition of their heart. Now, the good news is that the good is so merciful and everything. Maybe in 2 years' time, they'll come to understand it. There's some who are understanding it now. It is them to whom I speak primarily. I speak to all, but I speak primarily. There is a company of God's people that is in the earth right now who are in high expectation of the Feast of Tabernacles, and who have an understanding of these things, and will be forming a first of first fruits company, a breaker company, a man-child company, that will experience these things first, then others will follow later on. And it is them to whom I primarily speak this message. That's why this word privately comes in. It says, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, this scripture divides the end time into three sections. There's three questions here. The first one is, when shall these things be? The second one is, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And the third one is the end of the world. You must not mix them up. And this is one of the reasons why I'm bringing out this prophetic message, or correction. I have been instructed to bring this prophetic apostolic message at this time. Because you see, when people see some of the signs of the things that are happening, you know, a lot of people are thinking, oh, is this going to be the end of the world? Is this the great tribulation? Is this the Antichrist? In fact, if you go on the internet and so many Christian commentators, many people are saying, oh, it's going to be, you know, the Antichrist has come. The Antichrist is coming. The tribulation is coming. And that's why we need to, rightly, he said, the sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times. We have to understand the times and understand the signs, you know, and what Israel ought to do. If you do not have the right understanding of the times, you will not know what to do at that time. Because what you do at one time may be different from what you will do at another time. That is why the understanding of the times is crucial, is vital. And a lack of understanding of it, contrary wise, can be destructive. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's why it's important for us to understand. Now, I want to move as fast and compress this thing as quickly as I can. First thing you have to understand is that Jesus spoke about three major series of events. Not just one thing, a series of events. But those series of events can be categorized into three major sections. The first one was the destruction of Jerusalem. Because when I was talking to them, he said the temple is going to be destroyed. So he was talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which has taken place in AD 70. When Titus, he became emperor later on. At that time, he wasn't emperor, he was just a general. He destroyed Jerusalem completely and scattered the Jewish nation all over the Roman Empire. And when that thing happened, all the things Jesus said, if you read more detail, we don't have time to do that, in Luke chapter 21, as well as here in Matthew 24, about the terrible things that were going to happen, all of it happened. Or every to the last letter. Even secular historians who were not Christians, who were not writing like the writers of the Gospels under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, corroborated the facts. Josephus in particular, you know, In his letter, in his books called The Antiquities of the Jews, he describes everything, you know. And it happened exactly the way Jesus said it, you know. But we are not dealing with that. That time has gone. The second two are the one that people confuse. The sign of his coming, that is the season we are in now. His coming there is not talking about his physical coming. He's talking about his coming in the fullness of his glory back to his church. My wife picked everything by the Spirit this morning, going to Malachi. The Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. That's the coming he's talking about. Now, what is going to be the sign of that coming? That's major what I'm going to deal with here this afternoon. Then the third category is the end of the world. The end of the world means, give this to me in the New King James, quickly. That verse 3, you will see doesn't say was his age. New King James, thank you. The correct Greek word is age. This dispensation, this age is going to close. Now, there are things that are going to happen before the close of this age. And that's the third category of events. Things that are going to happen before the age closes. When the age closes, we move from what we call the church age into the millennial reign, wherein the Lord Jesus will come physically. Physically, everybody will see him. He's going to set up government and rule from Jerusalem. This is not is a physical thing that is going to happen. Everybody, every eye will see him, the Bible tells us. And that's why, you know, the choir didn't know what I was going to preach. They had no idea. So when they brought the songs to me this morning, I prayed and I thinking about it. I said, and then the Lord said, that's exactly what you're going to preach. I said, Lord, you know, you're right. Amazing, behold the Lamb. And the first song too, about the wind of his glory that is going to come in the earth, and he's coming in the hearts of flesh, and the like an ocean. That's exactly how it's going to be. We are about to experience a spiritual tsunami. For those of us who were around 10 years ago, there was a tsunami. A tsunami is a tidal wave of water that takes place because of an earthquake at the ocean bed. The earth is made up of plates. Those who are in geology and geography will tell you. When those plates move relative to each other, right at the bottom of the ocean, just that it causes a pressure. And so the water now rises up. See, if you go to Lagos, you go to Victoria Island, I happen to have grown up in Ikoyi and Victoria Island. My primary school is actually on Victoria Island. I went to Adrawa International School. My school is right on the beach. If you come out of the classroom and you just go down, you see the beach. That's how my school was. And it's still there, Adrawa International School. And you know, as a kid, you know, we'll see the waves, you know, coming in. We used to go to Takwa Bay on the motorboats and all of that. Anyway, you know, so, but I've seen waves high, but I've never seen a tsunami. You don't want to see a tsunami. Now, how many people know Cocoa House? All right. For those of you who didn't grow up in Lagos, there used to be a building in Lagos called, you know, 25 stories, you know, and you've got all this kind of, you know, independence building, you know, they're very high, you know. We also have another Cocoa House in Lagos, you know, they're high, you know, some of them 30 stories, some of them. Now, imagine a wave coming from the ocean that is higher than that. If it hit, God forbid it will not, in Jesus' name. Well, it will when we go. But so long as we're here, we'll keep it tamed. That's why the church has to be here. You know, if it hits the coast of Lagos,
and you have waves coming in that are 30 stories high, 50 stories high, the whole of VI and Lekki would disappear. Those of you who want to invest in Lekki, think about it. There's nothing wrong in investing in Lekki. But invest and take an insurance out in God. Amen. So you sell before the tsunami comes. And get your money out. And that's not a prophecy. Don't be afraid. But seriously, if a tsunami were to hit Lagos, you know, when I was a kid, all the places that you drive around, it was all water when I was a child. All the whole, that marina that you're driving on was, you know, the water, where you have the governor's house now, Lagos house, it was just a few feet and there was water. All those places where we drive now, it was all water, they sand filled it. Or Lekki, you know, where you go to Victoria Island now, you know, for those of you who know Lagos, you know, it was all water. When I was a child, there were only two bridges to Victoria Island, the Cowrie Bridge. There was all this other bridge was not there. When I was a child, it was all water. Everything was water. When I was in when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all, you know, that kind of age, you know. And the reason why I get one was that I can imagine what a tsunami would do. Everything Lekki right up to even VI, you know, even some parts of Ikoyi will be completely submerged. One wave will just come, boom. All the buildings will just go, boom. It happened in Japan. It happened in Indonesia. May it not happen in Lagos. In Jesus' name. Now, spiritually, a tsunami is coming. Imagine the power of the Holy Ghost hitting the earth like that. As the waters cover the sea. It will hit the church. Whoop! And everything that is sin will die. Only what is of glory will remain. For everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only that which cannot be shaken will stand. I got news for you. It's coming. You can't avoid it. You can only prepare for it. I'm not talking about the one for Lagos and Victoria Island. I'm talking about the spiritual tsunami. The spiritual tsunami is coming. I just use that one as an actual illustration so you can have a picture in your mind of what it's like, you know. So, we are now in that area where in the last two categories, the third category hasn't come. The end of the world. We're not there yet. Many Christians are making a mistake, and that's why we read in James, they say, do not err. It's easy to err. How do you err? By wrongly dividing the word. If you can rightly divide it, it means you can wrongly divide it. You know, and taking what is a sign for the end of the world and putting it in time of his coming. And then taking what is for his coming and putting it in the end of the world. And then you get the whole spaghetti. The whole thing is all mixed up and then you're confused. Hence, this prophetic message is to clarify things, make things clear so that the church can understand. We are not yet at the end of the age. Jesus said it. He said, the end is not yet. He said, these things will happen. He said, but the end is not yet. What we are about to enter now is the time of his coming in the church. And that time of his coming, and as God would have it, I began to talk about it tangentially last week and in the last few weeks, will bring with it glory and tribulation simultaneously. It's a complete package. You're not going to have glory and not have tribulation. You're going to have glory and tribulation. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me use example from Scripture. Look at what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. That's a very good example. That was the first glory, the glory of the latter house, of the former house, excuse me. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, and his disciples, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, and all these guys, when they began to manifest the glory of God, and they did, you know, and Peter's shadow began to heal people on the streets of Jerusalem, great glory. But right, you read about the miracle in chapter 3. By now you got to chapter 5, you got the tribulation. You get to chapter 12, James' head is cut off. And the miracles were still happening. It was a simultaneous thing. While the power and the glory was being manifest, simultaneously at the same time, terrible things were happening in tribulation. Hence, this day is called the great and terrible day of the Lord, simultaneously. It's great, and at the same time, it's also going to be terrible. Now, Pastor, why are you telling us this? To prepare you so that you will survive the terrible part of it. It will be terrible, but it won't affect you. I thank God for what my wife shared this morning. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of tribulation. That's why God is getting us ready. That's why he's teaching us what Israel ought to do. Tribulation is going to come. The terrible part is going to come, but it doesn't have to swallow you up. You can live above it. You can overcome it. It will come. That one is not disputable. But you, there are things, if you do certain things, that's what I'm going to teach you this afternoon, you know, you'll be able to weather the storm, so to speak. You actually, you won't even be weathering it. You'll ride it. Give the Lord a clap offering. You know, you'll ride it, you know, and you'll overcome it, you know, and you'll be here, you know, to do the last part of this section, which is the time of his coming. Now, to understand this better, let's go to chapter 24 and now read from verse 9. Back up to verse 7. Great. You see, verse 7 begins to tell us is the beginning of the sign of his coming. I heard Derek Prince teach this many years ago. It's one of the most accurate teachings I've heard on this. He said, this actually started, it's always been, but you know, there was an upsurge from 1900. Between 1900 and 1945, we had two world wars. We've had wars before. There have all been wars on the earth, but nothing like World War I and World War II. See, in World War I, the machine gun was invented. There was no machine gun before World War I that could kill so, it could fire so many rounds of bullets, you know, at great speed. So the way people were killed, The number of people that were killed in one battle far outweighed what had happened before, what used to happen before with sword and horses and all that. Those ones, the casualties were at a very low level compared to what happened when you started having machine guns. We began to have mechanized ways of killing men. In World War I, they've actually put a ban on it. I understand in Syria a few days ago, ISIS and some silly boys were trying to, you know, go chemical weapons. They'll throw chlorine gas into the trenches. It will blind you. Then it will paralyze you. That's why gaseous warfare is so terrible, they put a ban on it. But some bad boys still. Saddam Hussein uses it on his people. Sarin gas. You just smell it, you just become paralyzed and blind. Sometimes blindness is temporary. With treatment, you can get it back. You can get your sight back. Sometimes it's permanent. You know, so that was what Jesus saw ahead. He said, nation will rise up against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences, AIDS, earthquakes. In various places, in the last 15, 20 years, the frequency of earthquakes. Earthquakes no longer news.
It used to be news before, but today, you know, you all hear it's not earthquake. Everybody's used to it now.
We're in that time now. But we're about to leave it. Next verse. These are what? So we have experienced the beginning of sorrows. We're now about to enter another stage, which I have termed the tribulation of the church, because there's the tribulation of the world. The tribulation of the world is going to happen after the man-child church has been raptured. So if you look at this Matthew chapter 24, we can't go there because of time. If you look from verse 15 downwards, that is the end of the age. It begins with the tribulation of the world, which is described in great detail in the book of Tribulation, the seven trumpets, the seven seals, the seven vials. The seven seals is the first 3.5 years. The seven vials are the last 3.5 years. The seven seals is a summary of the whole thing and the things that are going to happen. All that the perfect church is going to avoid it. Well, don't let me use the word avoid it. The perfect church would have done her job. She's not going out because she's not strong enough. She's going out because she's too strong. She's going out because she's done her job. I'll show you one scripture that's very important for that. You know, the perfect church, the man-child church, as described in Revelation chapter 12, symbolically portrayed in a symbolic prophetic panorama, you know, is taken out, is taken up to heaven. Then the Bible says, and then the devil comes down. So everything from verse 15 right up to verse 34 or so, where it says, and then after that tribulation, then you will now see Jesus come. That's when the age ends. So we are not, it is not our destiny to be in verses 15 to 34, but you're going to be in verses 9 to 13. Thank you, Papa Afi. Only Papa Afi said amen. I don't know why we can't say amen to scripture. Now, this tribulation of the church is the Bible also calls the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time God is going to allow some really serious things to happen in the church. Some judgment is actually the word. That's why the choir hit that song. It says he comes in judgment and to war. Jesus coming. He's first of all coming to his church. To his church, he's going to come in judgment. Why? Because he is going to have a glorious church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any sort of thing. But if you look at the church today, you don't have to be a prophet to know that there's plenty of wrinkles. Hello? Are there any wrinkles in the church today? Adam alone. Any spots? Any blemishes? Any such like things? You should have said plenty, sir. Now, how are we going to go from our present condition of spots, blemishes, wrinkles, and many such things? How are we going to go from that from this condition to the condition of a glorious church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle? How is that transformation going to take place? Tribulation. You know why? For when thy judgments are in the earth, watch this, then and only then will the inhabitants learn righteousness. I've been teaching this stuff by the grace of God for about 30 years. My fathers before me, I'm talking about my spiritual fathers, have been teaching it in the last 100 years. Well, over 50. I was sharing with you the other day about George Warnock. You know, he wrote the book Feast of Tabernacles in 1951, for heaven's sake. Kenneth Hagin has a vision of Jesus in 1951. The first vision was 50. Then the second one was 1952. And when he had that vision, this same thing, God showed Kenneth Hagin and talked about America and the judgment that was coming. God gave us 50 years to prepare, and we're still not ready. Let me correct that. Majority of the church is still, they're not even aware. They are blissfully oblivious. The scripture has a word for it, willfully ignorant. I've been shouting for 20, 30 years. Nobody's listening. Well, you're listening. A few of us are listening. But great majority, yeah. Psalm 50 puts his word behind his back. Say the wicked, they take the word and don't know. The man is just talking his own. Leave him alone. That's what they said to the prophets of old. Exactly. You know, Jeremiah, we shouted. The Jerusalem don't be inside. I can't Jerusalem. Put shout, slap him. Put him inside the and give him the blood of affliction to drink. Jerusalem will never get this city that God has said he will never leave. That his eye will always, there will be, honey, thanks for sharing with us today. They will be quoting Solomon and what Solomon said in 1 Kings without keeping the condition. That's why mommy was sharing with us all of those conditions. Now, this is tangential, but let me just say it now. Hear the word of the Lord. Whenever you hear any teacher or pastor or prophet, whatever he calls himself, when you hear them teaching, if he says, God will do this for you, ask yourself, did he tell me the condition? If he doesn't, he's a deceiver. What mommy did today was what a true prophet does. She said, look for your name there. Look for your name there. Wherever you see your name, you quickly take it out. Because you see, even the devourer, you see, I cannot pay tithe alone and get the devourer rebuked. Tithe is very important, but so are all the other conditions. It is not an OR gate, it's an AND gate. Those of you who don't do electronics, you won't appreciate what I'm talking about. In other words, it's not just one condition. All the conditions have to be fulfilled. Then it opens. I can't say, oh, pay your tithe, you know, but then oppress the fatherless and the widow. Pay your tithe and then commit adultery. Remember, the judgment is also against the adulterers. You pay your tithe, all right, but you're committing adultery. You're not going to work. I can't say, pay your tithe, you know, and you don't pray. Pay your tithe, you don't walk in love. Pay your tithe, you don't walk in life. It's a complete system. Do you understand? So, the love is there, the life is there, the prayer is there, the thanksgiving is there. Again, thanksgiving is a very great thing. But again, you find people in the church, they will take that thing, and as if thanksgiving is the only thing. Just give thanks. What does scripture say? He says, is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him give thanks. So there's a gradation. You start with prayer. In the place of prayer, you get the victory, and then you move into thanksgiving. Jehoshaphat. When they saw the problem, they didn't go into thanksgiving first. They went into fasting and prayer. Then God, now after they prayed and they overcame in the spirit, God now said, now send the people with thanksgiving. Then God now sent ambushments. That's the correct order. You see, what we're giving you is epignosis. Epignosis. Paul and Silas, thank you. He didn't say Paul and Silas praised God. He said, Paul and Silas prayed. And then, he doesn't tell us how long they prayed for. It certainly wasn't 2 minutes. They prayed. And after they prayed, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour. Then, you see, that's the real breakthrough. When you pray and pray and pray in the spirit, a time comes when you know you've already got the victory. Once you get the victory, then you move into thanksgiving. Then God, now the answer now comes on the wings of thanksgiving. So when I'm going to teach you the truth, I have to tell you the whole system and how it works. If I just pick thanksgiving alone, you know the two popular ones the church likes? Thanksgiving and tithe. They isolate those, they take out those two. You know why? They're the easiest on the flesh. Anybody can pay tithe. Anybody can bring money. Doesn't matter how you live. Amen. And then anybody can dance. You can't do it in disco, I can do it in church. But my thanksgiving and all of that must have a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness behind it and obedience for it to be acceptable. It is not all thanksgiving that's acceptable to God. Another message for another day. That's why you need to clean your heart. So you have to take the whole message. You take everything together. So that's why I like what my wife did this morning. She went to that Malachi and then she broke it down. Check for your name there. Check for your name there. It was after she went through all of that that she came to tithe. It is only when those other ones are in place, tithe will work. It's not a magic wand. Is it clear? The reason why the church isn't getting results is that we just like to take one or two that are convenient for our flesh. Then we now try and force God to do the rest. And you know what? Satan accommodates us. That's just tangential, by the way. So, this time of tribulation is necessary so that God can take the church through a mommy hit it on the head. A purifying, says, you purify the sons of Levi. Without the tribulation, there will be no purification. Now, let me say, I'm going to help myself. I'm going to get to the scripture in a minute. But let me say this. These principles, these are things I've learned over the years. They've never been said with clarity. Like by the grace and the mercy of God, the way I taught you this morning about God and evil. God doesn't do evil. God is only good. And the Bible says he doesn't change. So he cannot be good today and evil tomorrow. But does God allow evil? Yes. Why? Because he has made human beings and angels that have a free will to a degree. So they have the everything that is good has the potential of evil in it. Because what is evil is simply a distortion of good. When it becomes clear like that, and then you see the example of Job, it becomes clear to you. So you don't mix God and the devil up. They're not kin. That's not original with me. That's Brother Copeland for you. Amen. No, not related. Devil, Satan is bad. God is good. You see, God is light. Satan is darkness. Even when God allows bad things to happen, it's ultimately to bring good out of it. Is it clear? So it is, you know, in this tribulation thing. It is not the tribulation that is going to perfect you. It is what you do with the blood, the word, and the spirit inside the tribulation that perfects you. But without the tribulation, you will not be able to apply the blood, the word, and the spirit to the degree that you should apply it for them to purify you. So, the tribulation is a catalyst, but it is not the main thing in the reaction. For those of you who didn't do O-level chemistry, a catalyst will help a chemical reaction move faster or slower, depending on what you want it to do. Amen. But it does not take part in the actual reaction. Isn't that right? Tribulation is just a catalyst to quickly perfect you. But what actually perfects you is not the tribulation, it's the blood, the word, and the spirit. Give the Lord a clap offering. Is there, you see, these things have never been taught with clarity. They're just taught generally. When I say tribulation, without tribulation, you cannot be perfected. And you go and quote James chapter 1, where it says, you know, God has allowed, count it all joy when you fall into doubt, and the tribulation will perfect you. It's not the tribulation that perfects you, it's the word that perfects you. Amen. The word being used inside the tribulation. To overcome, thank you, darling, to overcome the tribulation. You need, without the tribulation, you won't use the word fast enough. So the tribulation forces you to use the word with a greater level of consistency, a greater level of efficiency, a greater level of speed that will now perfect you. It's a catalyst. And because God wants to hasten the day of his coming, he's going to push the tribulation to quicken the perfection of the church. Is it clear? to thank you, darling, to call our attention. What did he do with Job? He called Job's attention to the loophole in his life. Without that tribulation, Job wouldn't have seen it. Job thought he was all right. He thought that the animal sacrifices he was making for his children would cover the children. You know, and that he was okay. Job was a very good man. By divine standard, you know, and the standard of the earth at that time. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, there is none in the earth that is like him. Job was number one on the earth, and yet not good enough. That's why you should never use, they that measure themselves among themselves are not wise. If Job was measuring himself with everybody else, he would think he's okay. God said, you're not okay. And to draw his attention to the fact that he was not okay, he allowed the tribulation to come in. So when the tribulation came, Job was very resentful initially. He said, God, why are you like good? Why can you allow such a thing to happen to such a great guy like me? I'm paraphrasing. That's 2015 translation. Job, God, don't you know me? I'm Job, man. There's none like me in all the earth. I help the poor. I cover the naked. I help the widow. Go and read the whole of the book of Job. Job began to count his credentials. All the great things, and everything he said was true. And he was doing them. He was obeying natural law. He was doing a lot of good things. But he was missing it in spiritual law. And he didn't realize it. It was the tribulation that showed it up. That's why we need tribulation. It's going to show you where you really are. You know, you always think you're very spiritual. Pastor G, there is none like you in all the earth. Until tribulation comes. You know, you think you're really strong. When tribulation hits, you will discover you need the Lord. You know, we always say, I need God. It's just mouth. But when problem comes, then you will really know that you need God. It's easy to quote this scripture. It's not of him that runneth, of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. But when tribulation comes, you will know it's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. You will now say, God, I have run and I have willed, but it's not enough. I need your mercy. And you know what? From that time on, you will never be proud again. Let me tell you my story. I used to be very proud of my faith. You know, I'm a strong faith man. Hey, Momini, you don't know me. You people just got born again yesterday. That's why you don't know. I'm one of the strongest faith guys in Nigeria. Baba faith. We are the original faith message guys. I'm telling you the truth though. We were on the front line. We guys who knew how to use our faith for everything. Faith to go to the US. Faith to get money. Faith to buy tickets. Faith for healing. They used to call me everywhere to come and preach. We are the cutting edge. Mujurabarabalo. I was on the cutting edge. Strong faith guy, strong word of knowledge, word revelation knowledge. I was very proud of my faith. I was very proud of my revelation knowledge. I used to strut around. I was a guy everybody used to call to come and preach. It called me as far back as Zaria. I'm talking about 1980, 81. Everybody wanted Olubi Johnson to come. You know, it was God who helped me. God had to humble me. My wife is thanking that it happened before she came. I was very proud of my faith. Proud of my knowledge. You know, we were the custodians of the law. The teacher of babes. I can identify with all those scriptures. I can identify with Paul. I was proud. If you told me I was proud, I wouldn't believe it. But I was. Then some things happened in my life. Tribulation. Then the faith didn't work. The confession didn't work. The tongues did not work. Ha! There was sent unto me the messenger of Satan to buffet me. It actually happened to me. The first thing that went out of the window was my pride. Then I went to God, have mercy on me. Show me what I don't know. Then God began to help me. The man say, you have to learn. I used to be so proud. I said, man, I'm not down people yellow one. RK. RK, la man, bang bang. SK is sense knowledge. RK is revelation knowledge. So me and my group of friends, we all say, don't mind those people. All they have is SK. SK, Niwojo. You know, back in those days, they make it. You know, preach Anglican church. I went SK. I'm telling you, I had that attitude for the first 2-3 years. God broke me. Humbled me. And I fell flat on my face with all my faith, with all my knowledge, with all my praying in tongues. Then and then I knew that I needed the mercy of God. That is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. Then I became kinder to other people. Then I became more patient, because the same God that had patience on me. Then I knew that but for the mercies of God, we will be consumed. These were the things God now brought me to the kingdom message. And I began to learn about the Feast of Tabernacles and Nehemiah and you know, with faith boys, we're all New Testament guys. We don't have time for the Old Testament. Old Testament is for what do I want to do with Tabernacle and Esther? You know, I need faith for healing and ego. We didn't have time for all these other messages. I used to be like that. Can you believe it? God broke me. My wife is just thanking God. When she came along, I taught her the right thing. Amen. I said, don't follow those faith things. Faith is very important. I went back to my faith message. I did. You know, I don't know if I said that this is just part of my story. For God told me, it was 1982. I hadn't met my wife then. He put me in a wilderness. I didn't have a job. I stopped working, brother, because God said, go and stay. He said, go and get a job. But he didn't give me one. For a year, I was sleeping on a mat. It was Larry Adeneko, Fred Adegoke, Wale Adekoya, and some of my friends. They would just contribute money at the end of the month to give me. My parents would not give me money. I was too ashamed to go and meet them. They said, Chibi, you said God called you. The God that called you, let him supply. My mouth is laughing. But it's the truth though. I couldn't go and meet my parents. I was here in Ibadan. In Agbowo. Ojurin. I was sleeping on the floor. Larry had a bed. He could afford it. I didn't have a bed. It's the truth. I was just sleeping on the floor. It wasn't 2 weeks. It was 9 months. He broke me. Coming from London, Imperial College, the son of Johnson and all that nonsense went out of the window fast. Stripped me completely. Every pride, every dependence on the natural, all my props, kicked everything away. So now let's see if God can help you. Yeah. So until I got to that position, and I got to that something, there was nowhere else to go except God. I was living from hand to mouth. Didn't know what the next day would bring. Didn't know whether I would live or I would die. I'm telling you the truth. There were days I thought I was going to die. I'll be in that house. Larry would have gone to UI. He was a lecturer. I didn't have anything. I didn't even have a job. You know? And the devil would come to me and say, "You stupid idiot. You're supposed to be in London." So, yeah. God called you. You will see. You will see. I will kill you. I will finish you. This is where you will finish. I'm telling you. That's how I learned a lot of things I learned. You know what I would do? Exactly that formula I gave you this morning. I'll start rejoicing in hope. Patience in tribulation. Then I'll start praying in tongues. Little, not much. It's not all that. Go, go, but you humble. No better now. My God, submit to God. That's how I learned it too. I will first of all submit my heart. Then I'll pray in tongues a little. Then I'll get stronger. Then I'll get strong. I might go for 2-3 hours. I'll pray. Then I'll be encouraged. Then I'll get revelation from the Bible. Then God will encourage me and say, "Don't worry, I'm with you. You will not perish. Everything's going to be okay." You know, and I'll be like that. And then another day will happen again. He said, in a nine-month period, 9 months, didn't have a job, didn't have anything, but you know what? It was good for me. It stripped all the pride, all the arrogance, and I was very arrogant. If you got a first degree, first class in physics at 19, and went to Imperial College when you were 20, and you know you were the best in so many things, and everybody was talking about your name and everything, you would be proud. That's why I was proud. Very proud. Very arrogant. Didn't know it too. I thought I was humble. My humble self. You see, I went through that period. So as that 9 months was closing, a lot of my attitude, that was when I started going to Elisha. To go and see Pius thing. To go and learn at the foot of the prophet. I will just have enough money for petrol to get to Elisha and back. My Lord, I'll sit down. Sometimes I'll be outside Pius' office for 3 hours because other big men are inside. And I'm a small man. Kumuyi will come. Pastor Adeboye will come. You know, Idahosa will come. Who am I? Sit down. Tibu Bomba Tiloton. I say, "Pa," and this guy, "What do you want, young man?" "Pa didn't know me from Adam. What do you want?" I say, "Pa, I came to see you from Badon, sir." "Sit down. Prophet. So, what are you doing?" "It's good for you." Pastor, "Quick growth is weak growth. You need to develop your character. Bring out 3 or 4 books on the overcomer. Go and read these. Come back in a month." All this, my father, well, more nothing. He won't laugh with you. Pa. I mean, he was a nice person. Don't misunderstand me. Say, "Bring out Gordon Lindsay and Bill Britton and Eagle Center. Go read that." "Yes, Pa. I'll take it. Go back to Ibadan. Get to my room." All that talk about faith, I still had faith, but using it properly now, in the right way, with the right attitude. See, my wife and I have been shouting for the last few months. Attitude is everything. You can have all the knowledge. If your attitude is wrong, you are wrong. Even if your knowledge is right. Anyway, so that's why tribulation is necessary. God uses as a catalyst to help us so that we can come to a place, we come to the end of our road. Then we truly trust God. We truly lean back on God. And then you begin to see things. God told me, he said, put away your faith messages for a while. I was going to say that. He said all that. He said it's good, though. He didn't say it's correct. He said, well, I don't want you to listen to it. I want to teach you something else. For a whole year, I put away all my faith tapes. All I was listening to was Feast of Tabernacles. The Day of Atonement. Eagle saints arise. Hard conch messages. Then when I balanced out, God said, now go back and pick your faith tapes. The year was already late 1983. Early 1983. I got my faith tapes back. Then I got into live scriptures. Then I met my wife, my fiance at the time. Then we started scripture pastor in 1984. After being drilled properly. That's the God we serve. And that's why tribulation is necessary. Now let's look at this tribulation thing and begin to close. Look at verses 9 to 13. You see, the tribulation, the reason why we need this is going to be a catalyst for the perfection of the church. Note, it will not perfect the church. Now what is going to happen in this tribulation? Let me just explain. It's not the tribulation of the world, it's the tribulation of the church. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 7 through 9, I don't have time to go there. It calls it, you can just quickly put it on the screen behind me, it calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. In verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 30, it tells us that at the end of it, thank you. Verse 9 says they will serve, go to verse 8. Good. Now go up to verse 7. Good. He said, that day is great. This great day of the Lord. There's not like it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble, this tribulation of the church. But he's going to be saved out of it. Verse 8. Because basically what God is going to do is he's going to change the leadership of the church. That's the whole essence of the tribulation. He's going to change the leadership of the church from Saul to David, the priesthood from Eli to Samuel. To do that, what God is going to do is this. Hear the word of the Lord. He's going to kill some of the leaders. Only Pastor Boyega. It doesn't matter. He's going to kill them. I didn't write the scriptures. And of course, I have no joy in the death of anybody. Don't misunderstand me at all. But this is the word of the Lord. He says, smite the shepherd. And the sheep will be scattered. Say 2/3 will be cut off and die. Zechariah, this is the tribulation of the church. And the 2/3 will be cut off and die. He says the remaining 1/3, that Malachi, and I will bring them through the fire, and I will purge them as silver and gold. So God is going, it's not going to be the devil, it's going to be God. Now, of course, God will use the devil. He always does. He just removes the hedge, and then he allows Satan to do what he was created to do. Created the waster to destroy. Well, what he allowed himself to deteriorate to become. Which is a better conclusion. So he's going to kill some of the key people. And he's like decapitating. You remove the headship. You see, notice that under Saul and David, the same Israel that served Saul served David. The problem was not the people, it was the headship. So what God did was just remove the head, put a new head there, and then the thing comes from the head, Psalm 133. Then it just flows down to the body, Now, some of the body didn't agree, and the Bible says the house of Saul grew smaller and smaller, the house of David grew more and more. And that's exactly what's going to happen in this tribulation. This tribulation, it's going to come with this great judgment upon the leadership of the church. here in Nigeria, all over the world. We're going to, when it happens, you begin to see it. You know, and when it begins to happen, people, you know, some people will be offended, some will backslide. Because some people, their faith is tied to the faith of their pastor. So when the man falls, they all fall with him. Whereas your faith should be in God. So that's going to happen. And that's why he says that he will remove those who have been oppressing his people. And then he says the Lord, they will serve David their king and the Lord their God. That's God and then a David kind of leadership. You see the same thing in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. Let's go there. That's the one I wanted to. It says, I wake up sword against my shepherd. The sheep will be scattered. I'll turn my hand against the little ones. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass. I didn't hear you. In all the land. In some of the land. In some special churches. This is going to be a universal thing, folks. You know why? He's coming for a glorious church. Without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. So the cleansing is going to be universal. Am I talking to anybody here? In all the land, it says, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. I didn't hear you. But the third shall be left therein. But they won't just be left passively. Next verse. And I will bring the third part through the what? And will refine them as what? Is refined and will do what? And they shall call on my name and they shall say, I will say, and they shall say. So that's what's going to happen during the tribulation of the church. This is primarily the church. It's not, the world is going to have to keep having their own problems. But this is going to be our own time. And we're entering it now. We've seen the beginning of sorrows. We're about to make a transition now from Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 into verse 9. That verse 9 goes on up to verse 30. Let's go back to Matthew 24 now. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now, this is not just news. It's not strange. Remember what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. They tried to kill Peter. They killed James. They tried to kill John. They tried to kill Paul. Same thing is going to happen. I said it earlier on. The glory will bring tribulation. They will bring attack. Because men's kingdoms and empires will be threatened. And they know you are the cause of it. They said, this Paul is the one who has been preaching that there are no gods that are made with hands. Therefore, this our trade, by which we have our living, is in great danger. For all the world knows that the great prophet Diana, goddess Diana, that fell down from Jupiter. How silly. But why did they attack Paul? Money. Paul's teaching and preaching was taking a lot of people from idol worship. And this is the idol that they were making money from. Same thing today. We don't have idols of silver and gold today. We have the idol of covetousness. People start getting into perfection and perfection message and all that. They start leaving that. Then the people who are enjoying the money, this is the person who is causing this killing. They will send hired assassins. All the things. Turn to your neighbor and say, chill, man. Don't let all that worry you. Remember what mommy said earlier today. In the world you will have tribulation, but you will overcome the world. Remember, no weapon, no hired assassin, no curse, no divination can work against you. Give the Lord a clap offering. Don't worry yourself. But it will come. It will come. That's what you need to know. It will come. And this is the reason why it will come. Because once we start doing these things, they will kill, they want to kill. Sadly, they will kill some people.
but it doesn't have to be you.
That's why you're learning what you're learning now. It says, who keepeth his word? The wicked one toucheth him not. If there's anything you need to learn today, is learn how to walk with God so you can enjoy divine protection. Learn to walk in love. Learn to walk in prayer so you enjoy divine protection. It's there. It's available for every Christian. But it's conditional. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my shield and my buckler. 1,000 will fall at your right hand. 10,000, but it's not going to come near you. Only with your eye will you see the reward of the wicked. It will not come near you. That's why we're preparing you now. Yes, so amen. You know, only Mrs. Asera that's inside the church. Amen. You don't have to worry. Are you listening to me? I'm a true prophet. I have to tell you the truth. It's going to come, but if you prepare now, that's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you now. Teaching you how to pray. Teaching you how to walk in love. Teaching you how to walk in the Spirit. My wife has just taught you today. Pay your tithes. Don't oppress the fatherless and the widow. Don't get involved with the sorcerers. Sorcerers is just, you know, it's passive and active witchcraft. Don't get involved in all that rubbish. When you get into trouble, when you are really in trouble, do you even entertain the thought of going to see one Baba somewhere? Seller. Honey, the church went quiet. You know why? Even some born again Christian, when they are really in trouble, and they know they have not been doing the will of God, and they still need help, then they go to the witch at Endor. That's what happened with Saul. He said, when the Lord answered him, neither by Urim or Thurim, neither by dreams, nor by prophets, then he said, take me to the witch at Endor. I'm going to say something. It's a hard thing I'm going to say. It is the truth. Hold it. It will preserve you. It is better to die in your problem than to go to a witch. If you can't say amen, say oh me. That is something every Christian should be able to say a loud amen to. I will rather die than go to a witch. At least if I die, I go to heaven. If you go to the witch, you go to hell. Don't even entertain the thought. In fact, if you are in a particular place where you should be, that kind of thought should not even enter your mind. Can anybody even suggest it to you? The fact that they can even come to you and suggest it tells me there's something wrong with you. And that you have a class of friends around you that are not. Who is going to suggest it to you in this church? Let's go and see one Baba. Where did they even know the Baba from? Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Don't do it all. Don't do it. Learn what you learn in God. So you can get your protection from God. And if by adventure, God forbid, you don't, like, go to heaven. At least go to heaven. Don't go to the house of the witch. Especially you who have been in scripture pasture, you have been doing live scripture, you have been buying devil, then you now go to their house, they'll say, Kabo. They will show you Pepe. Lance of Moluabi, Tobadenu. May God help us. So God is going to smite the shepherd. In some other scriptures in the book of Proverbs, he says, smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. Look at Proverbs 21:11. God is going to help me. I'm coming to the end. I'm giving a prophetic landmark message. It's not for scripture pasture alone, it's for the whole church. So I have to be faithful in delivering it. And it's time related. I can't say, I'll do it next week. Some people will die between now and next week. If they don't hear what they should hear and start doing what they should be doing. So I can't postpone it. Because we're ready in the month of September. In fact, next week Sunday is trumpets. It's the first day of the 7th month. So we're entering into the time. Hence, the accuracy, the urgency, the timeliness of the message. Good.
Proverbs 21:11.
Good. When the scorner is punished, the simple is what? Stop. Let me just do a corollary there. Why was not the simple made wise before the scorner was smitten? It's a very important question. You have to meditate. Why is it that it is only after the scorner was smitten that the simple was made wise? If I tell you the answer, you will laugh. You know why? He's simple. He's simple. He's simple. And he has not taken time to deal with his heart. So instead of learning what he should learn normally, he has to take a tribulation. He does take the smiting of the scorner for him to be made wise. But God is going to make his church wise. So he will smite the scorner so that the simple people under them, who otherwise would not have been made wise, will be made wise. Now, finally, the tribulation of the church. So God is going to do this. In this season. Back to Matthew 24, verse 9. Next verse, verse 10. And then, many. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God is not all. And I'm not going to be in those many. Will be offended and will betray one another and we hate one another. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Next verse. And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many. Turn to your neighbor, say many. But not all. And I'm not one of the many. The love of many will grow cold. Finally. But he who endures unto the what? The end of what? The end of that tribulation of the church. It's not going to be forever. It's going to be a short period of time. Typified by the 7 years in Hebron. God is perfecting the church. It took 7 years for Solomon to finish the temple. It took 7 years for David to rule from Hebron to the whole of Israel. It's the same shadow that we're using. He who endures to the end shall be what? Verse 14. And this gospel of the what? Will be preached in what? As a witness unto all, then the end will come. So once we've crossed this now, we now move into the tribulation and then Jesus is going to come physically. But this period of time between verse 9 and verse 13 and 14, by the time we finish verse 13, you have a glorious church. You have a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle that can preach and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom. It is that church now that will preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations for a witness. Then the end, the rapture, the catching away of the man-child come, they would have done their job. Then the end will come. So we are now in that place where we're entering into that tribulation of the church. What do you need to do? We've already told you earlier on. Pray. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. Pray in the Spirit. You know, use the blood. Use the word. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. When the tribulations come, you will overcome them. They will come, but you will overcome them. You will be refined. You will be purified. You will be glorified. And then you will overcome everything that comes. You will be a part of this group of people who will preach the gospel unto all nations for a witness. And then when the time comes, that perfect church, that man-child church, as shown in the book of Revelation, will be caught up to the throne of God. And then the rest of the world now will start their own tribulation. But by that time, we would have done our job and would have gone. Let us pray. Talk to God. As an individual, and talk to God. There is a one-on-one individual transaction in this thing that is necessary before we now pray collectively as a body. Talk to God. First of all, thank Him for being alive in this great time and hour of the church. Then secondly, thank Him for hearing what you are hearing and seeing what you're seeing. Be truly grateful. Be truly grateful. Then thirdly, say, Lord, have mercy and help me in the preparation. Help me to watch and pray. Help me to maintain an attitude of thanksgiving no matter what. Thanksgiving, firstly, is an attitude of the heart. Before it even springs out as words in the mouth, it's in the heart. Say, God, no matter what happens, no matter what happens. See, this man put it beautifully, the psalmist said, nothing shall offend them. I will always be grateful. Then with that foundation, I will watch and pray without ceasing, so that I'll be accounted worthy to escape any tribulation, any problem that will come. You, the God who doesn't change. Once I begin to pray, I make a way for you. You will come, work on my behalf, and overcome the what the waster is trying to do, and you will see me through. I trust you. I put it in simple terms, but really that's what it is. It's very simple. Say, God, I trust you. And be like Shigar Mishkan Abednego. Even if it does, I'm still going to trust you anyway. I'm not going to go to a witch or look for power from another source simply because what I'm doing in God does not seem to be working, because probably I'm not doing some things I should be doing. I'm not going to do that. The boys told Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow to this idol though. Our God is going to deliver us. We believe that. And He did deliver them. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow. You must have the same attitude. Most Christians haven't come to that point. They're so afraid of death, so afraid of the devil, that, you know, under pressure, they will buckle. Don't. Say, God, no matter what happens, I will always be faithful to you to the very end. Teach me and help me what I should learn. I will learn it. And I know you're a good God. You won't allow me to be tempted above what I'm able. You not bring a test. You not allow a test to come above the knowledge that you've made available to me. I know you're good. So I'm settled. Good. Good. Now, with that understanding, let us pray. Say, Father. Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come today through your handmaiden and through your servant, preparing me for this time, this season of glory and tribulation that the church is about to enter. As we enter the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Thank you for sending me this message to give me understanding of the times and what I ought and to do and will do by your mercy and by your grace. By your mercy and grace, I covenant with you to maintain, no matter the circumstance, an attitude of thanksgiving. I will always praise you and thank you, no matter what is happening, because I praise and thank you, not just because of what you do for me, but because of who you are, the Creator of heaven and earth, and my Lord and my Savior. That alone is enough for me to thank you in every situation. And I will always, by your mercy and grace, remember that and do that. On top of that, I will watch and pray always by the blood, the word, and the spirit, so that you can work in and through my circumstances to cause all things to work together for my good, to overcome every weapon of the enemy that will come against me, to neutralize every divination, every sorcery, every negative thing that the enemy can bring, to neutralize it so it will not hurt me, so that I will come out of every tribulation victorious, purified, stronger, more glorified than when I went into it. And so, Father, I commit my life into your hands as we enter into this season of the tribulation of the church, in Jesus' name. Nikatolo Mashaka. Now pray. Don't pray all this Mickey Mouse. Pray. Nekatala Mashangi Tofredelest. Tolomangara Shofri. Lupriki Tufridinga Tonga Taya. Shapurkolomotufris. Tolomotolo Mashangara. Tufridiliki Tolo. Lombrakamatolos. Sufridi Glamatar. Tolomashangeri. Tolomotolomotufris. Tolomotolomotufrisse. Lombrakamatolomotufredufrisse. Ziki Tufrega Kamatolomotolomostufris. Zifri Ranga Tushka. Tolamangara, Lambraka Tolomotolo, Lambraka Matusko Fre, Lambraka Tolomotolo Matufre do Fresha, Tolomoto Fre, Talabaka Kramatolo Mosto Fre, Zofre, Lambraka Matufre, So, Rika Tofre, Lambraka Matolo, Tusko Fre, Tolomangar, Turusk, Tolomangar de la Matufre Diga, Lambraka Matolo Matolo, Lambraka Tufre de la Lambradara, No Fridili, Jikror, No Fridili. No fridela, ni fridilia, tu fridele, no frecara, tu fridi, nangara, gili bradolo, no fridilia, no fridele, tu sco fridele, ne fridi, tolomatore. In Jesus' name. As we're praying, a word came to me. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with this first step. It's a Chinese proverb, but it has application in this. Whenever you are faced with a difficult problem, start just step by step. Thank God inside it, not for it. Then say, Father, I confess our sins. To clean with the blood, clean yourself. In Jesus' name, have a then praying. That your praying spirit may not be strong at first. Don't worry. Maybe 5 minutes. 10 minutes, end it with thanksgiving. Then, if you have the time, load it again. Father, confess us in Jesus' name, have life. Receive life again. Pray a little bit again. Then pray a little bit again. Then pray a little bit again. Each time you do, you get stronger. Light will come. Understanding will come about that situation. It may not go away that day. The next day, you do it again. The next day, just keep doing it. The key to this thing is stay connected to God. Don't stay,
sad and then feel sorry for yourself and then cry, you know, and then.
Isolate yourself from God is the worst thing you can do. Stay connected.